Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Business Weekly. Bring you the latest business, economic and financial news from around the country and tell you how they affect you. Business Weekly. Features aspiring South Indian entrepreneurs. Every Monday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m. Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Only on Radio Miraya.
This is Business Weekly.
Welcome to the Business Weekly, where we talk business and do business. The Business Weekly is a program that brings you the latest on business and entrepreneurship and creates a chat zone to discuss business opportunities and challenges collectively to explore all opportunities. So today we are going to discuss about business registration. And we are joined by a lawyer who is going to take us through the process and tell us how important it is to register a business, what are the requirements, and what kind of measures can be imposed against a business which does not register. Well, you can be part of the show later on by sharing your views and comments on this particular topic by dialing 0929686297 or sending us a text message on 0912177141. We shall also be hosting an entrepreneur this of the week, and that is someone who has ventured into the honey business. He'll be sharing with us his journey, how he made it, and is the business profitable, and what kind of challenges he's facing. But first, let's have some of the top stories of the week. We start in the national capital, where the National Chamber of Commerce has launched a new website to ease online business dealings and registrations. The website will provide information on the Chamber's activities, including business opportunities, legislations, membership subscription, rules and regulations. The site is at www.ssncciea.org.ss. The Chamber says the new digital tool will decongest activities at the office. Meanwhile, the Chamber of Commerce also launched the Chamber Quality Awards 2022, meant to provide a culture of quality services and business excellence in the country. The awards will be given to national leaders, development partners, and other organizations or individuals in recognition of their efforts in promoting growth of the private sector. It will be done during a dinner to take place at the Pyramid Hotel on the 9th of December. Still on national stories, South Sudan Federation of Buses, Trucks and Porters Union has called for calm among long-distance drivers as it prepares to meet concerned authorities over their grievances. The Federation and the East African Long-Distance Transport Union counterpart met at Elegu border point and threatened to protest continuous harassment by immigration officials and extortion at a number of checkpoints along the Juba-Nimle Highway and beyond. The head of the Federation, Jacob Lueth, said they were compiling a comprehensive report to be handed to the authorities that are concerned. In Lake State, traders in Chwebet are complaining about heavy taxes and fines imposed by the County Revenue Authority. The traders say the authorities charge heavy custom duty, including fines for expired goods. They are also concerned about illegal taxes collected from shops by the authorities. Meanwhile, the Lake State Commissioner of Revenue Authority, Mayek Marial, denied the claims and advised traders to show their certificate of tax payment during inspections to avoid double taxation. Moving to Western Equatoria, the government of the state will conduct an agricultural show on Inyambio before the end of December to exhibit farmers' produce. The farmers will be showing their various agricultural products at the Freedom Square, and partners will be there to buy. The governor of Western Equatoria State, Alfred Futuyo, directed the Minister of Agriculture in the state to inform all farmers to prepare for the agricultural show. And finally, in Central Equatoria, six local organizations have received agricultural processing equipment and livelihood kits from USAID in Juba. The equipment include grinding mill, sorghum thresher, maize sheller, boats, fishing nets, and seeds that are part of support to farmers through the organizations in five counties of Akobo, Budi, Kapoita North, Wau, and Ju River. The USAID Acting Mission Director Darren Manning say the equipment will help communities transition from humanitarian assistance to sustainable development. Well, those were some of the business stories of the week with me, Helen Toby, on the Business Weekly program. And as I earlier told you, our topic of discussion today is about business registration. We're going to know how important it is to register a business, what are the requirements, and what kind of measures can be imposed against a business which is not registered. And I had told you earlier that we're going to be joined by a lawyer who's going to take us through the process, and I'm glad to tell you that we are joined by Stephen Wani, who's going to be talking about business registrations in South Sudan. Thank you, Wani, Stephen, for joining us.
Thank you, Sawai.
Okay, why is it important to register business?
So let me start by saying registering your business gives you, you know, the legitimacy to operate, you know. It gives you that legal authority to you know, conduct your business. Most especially, there are certain type of business that might be illegal, and you know, as a businessman, sometimes you just want to get money, and then in doing that, sometimes you might want to venture into activities that might not be necessarily allowed or permitted by the law. This is one, but also you know, registering your business, it's complying with the laws of South Sudan or with the laws that regulate a specific business. For example, if you are dealing in a pharmaceutical business, you know, you need to also, apart from the general requirements of registering a business, you need to comply with the specific regulations within the medical commission that basically governs how, you know, the standards of a pharmaceutical company, how should it look like. Mm-hmm. So and it's the same case with almost every sector. Within the petroleum sector, there are also specific requirements for business that want to operate within the petroleum sector.
Okay.
And similarly, within the legal sector, it's basically apart from you know, getting that legal authority to operate your business and complying with the law, it's also you know, giving the government that you know, that avenue to adequately regulate and set standards within different sectors of our society.
So, in other words, registering a business is important to show that your business is legal.
Yes, to show that your business is legal, that you're complying with the law,
mm-hmm.
and that you're not doing anything, you know, that might be, for lack of a better word, let me say, that might be fishy.
Okay, or prohibited by the law.
Yes.
So, what is the process for the full registration of a business?
Okay, I think let me start by just highlighting that there are several ways or means that you can register a business. The most common that people, you know, usually just go for is registering a company, mm-hmm. you know. But apart from that, you can also have a partnership, you know, and that can be registered. You can have your own business, a shop, or you know, and register it as a business name. Mm-hmm. You know, that does not require you to, you know, have someone else within that. So there are several types of you know, incorporating, you know, or registering a business. When we look into companies, there are the Companies Act of 2012 highlights how companies are to be registered. And it's differentiated between a company that is registered in a foreign country,
mm-hmm.
and then that company wants to come and, you know, register a branch in South Sudan. And it's also differentiated between, you know, local companies, or let me say companies that are incorporated mm-hmm. in South Sudan. So this is the difference. There is a difference between registration, which is mostly for foreign companies. They register branches in South Sudan, and there is incorporation. incorporation is, me and Matata coming, together and, establishing a company in South Sudan. So South Sudan would be the first place of establishing that business. So this would be incorporating a business. And then in this one, the Companies Act highlights between two sets of companies or two sets of incorporating companies in South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
One, it's basically provided for, it says that, all small companies should be, limited to South Sudanese, which mm-hmm. means foreigners cannot be, cannot
deal in small
cannot
businesses.
Have, mm-hmm. Yes. And then the second one is it states that medium and large size company shall be open for foreign investors, provided that a South Sudanese, hold a minimum of 31%.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay.
So,
mm-hmm.
yes.
And you say that most of these small businesses are supposed to be done by South Sudanese, but we are seeing there are other foreign nationals who are doing small businesses in South Sudan. So does this mean they are doing those businesses illegally?
Now, I'm talking of companies.
Uh-huh.
Yes, I'm talking of companies, yeah? In terms of what the law provides.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, all small companies should be limited for South Sudanese, and then medium and large-sized companies should be open for foreign investors, provided that the South Sudanese have the 31% shares. Now, this provision is where we see now there is a lot of companies incorporated in South Sudan mm-hmm. with foreign shareholders, sometimes they have 69, sometimes it's more than one shareholder, but then their total sum must not exceed 69%, and the 31% is for South Sudanese. This is companies. Now, apart from companies, we can talk of the requirements of registering a company later. But apart from companies as well, there are I said earlier on, you can register a partnership.
Mm-hmm.
And then you can also have your sole proprietorship business, which is only you. And these ones are done under the Business Registration Business Name Registration Act within Ministry of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
So this allows you now to conduct your business. Coming back to your question of whether small businesses, foreigners are doing small businesses, and is that allowed or not? So this two sets of registration mechanism that I've told you is within the Companies Act and the Registration of Business Name Act, which is at the national level in Ministry of Justice. However, within the state as well, they have mechanisms, they have regulations of registering small businesses within the state.
Mm-hmm.
And it's quite different from having a company or having a business name registered within mm-hmm. the Ministry of Justice.
So the steps of registering are different from businesses.
So mostly that happens within the state. To be more specific, in Juba, for example, within the different Juba City Council, different blocks.
Mm-hmm.
So it happens within the different blocks, and it's mainly just to regulate, for example, shops. A shop is a business.
Yeah.
So most shops in a different part of, let's say, Juba or whatever state that you're in are regulated, and for them to regulate that, they need to sort of have you in some form of entity. So that usually happens if we're talking Juba City, for example, it happens within the different blocks within Juba City. So Muniki block, Juba block, Kator block, and so on.
Okay. Yes. Now talking about businesses and companies and the need for registering them, we have some businesses that are online and companies that are online which are not registered. They just sell their products online. What do you think about this? Are they operating illegally?
Well, there are requirements for doing that as well. For mm-hmm. example, within the National Communication Authority, there are requirements for operating an online business. So when you want to operate an online business, you're supposed to, you know, go to a lawyer who would then avail you the requirements of operating an online business. And within that, of course, you'll pay a certain fee to get the license to operate an online service. But also they make sure that, for example, you are complying with the requirements of registering a business in South Sudan, be it a company or just a business. So when you go to NCA, National Communication Authority, they would give you the requirements. One of the some of these requirements basically refers you back to the Ministry of Justice, you know, to have your entity registered. However, when we look at the practice now, I don't know whether it's because a lot of people don't know this or a lot of people don't approach lawyers, but most people just tend to you know, do online businesses without necessarily, you know, having license from the National Communication Authority, which is quite problematic.
Mm-hmm.
Yes, because you haven't complied with that requirement, and then now you're operating.
Okay.
Yes.
So it means those people are operating illegally.
It means that they need to comply with the requirements. They need to approach National Communication Authority,
mm-hmm.
and they need to register themselves as operating online business, because you can, as any business, of course, you have your physical place.
Mm-hmm.
You know.
Yeah.
At that bit, you don't necessarily need to, you know, engage with the National Communication Authority. But the moment you now, you know, say, okay, now I want to also offer online services, then that's where you need to now comply with NCA. That's why I'm trying to avoid what you're trying
as
illegal, because mm-hmm. you can have physical business, that bit is okay, but then when you want to now extend your services to now include offering online services, then that's when you need to now comply with NCA okay. requirements.
Okay, now dealing with the law, what kind of penalties are stipulated there for those who are doing business without registering, businesses and having companies without registering?
Well, within each regulator, be it the Minister of Justice, or which is basically in charge of registering, you know, companies and business names, or within the state, or even within the requirements, for example, for NCA, or let me say for people who are operating within the petroleum sector, if you don't have the necessary license, you know, from the petroleum, from Ministry of Petroleum, and you're operating,
mm-hmm.
They have penalties within their regulations, whereby, for example, if one day, you know, they've identified that you have not been, you know, complying, there are usually financial penalties that you would be faced with, and then you would have to, you know, pay that money. Otherwise, you would not be granted, you know, a license if you don't get a license within a certain period of time. So these are some of the penalties, and then how the authority know that, okay, you have not been complying. So when you register a company or a business, let me take a company, for example. In South Sudan, a company is two people and more. So mm-hmm. you can't have a one-man company, you know. It has to be you and someone else, or you and other people, yeah?
Mm-hmm.
So this is the first requirement. You need to, you know, have someone with you to have a company. And then, of course, you need to have a name. You need through your lawyer, you need to approach Minister of Justice and reserve the name and make sure that there are no other names or no other company registered with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
Once you have that, and then you know, the lawyer draft the memorandum and article of association. I'm just trying to leave the, you know, boring details, like you need to have a clear objective, you need to have a, you know, physical address, mm-hmm. and all that, because this is like a given. When you approach your lawyer, he will definitely tell you about that. So once you have registered that, you need to acquire other licenses as well. So it's not enough only to have
a registration
from Minister of Justice. You need mm-hmm. to register with the National Revenue Authority and have a tax identification number, because that's how you're going to pay, you know, your taxes, the taxes, the PIT of your employee, the personal income tax of your employee, and so on. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
So you need to have the tax identification number from the Revenue Authority. You need to have an operation license from the Central Equatorial State if you're operating within Central Equatoria.
Mm-hmm.
If you're operating outside of Central Equatoria, it means that you need to also approach the relevant authority within that state,
that area,
and have an operational license.
Okay.
And then you need to also have, it's now sort of like a custom, you need to also have like an a membership in Chamber of Commerce.
Mm-hmm.
If you tend to engage in export and import, you need to have a license from Ministry of Trade. If you want to do online businesses, you know, license from NCA. If you want to deal within petroleum sector, then license from petroleum, Minister of Petroleum. So apart from and then lastly, there is what police are doing now, the CID. They have two letters that they give businesses. One is the letter of no objection, and the second is approval of a stamp. This basically, it's like a monitoring mechanism to make sure that, okay, companies or businesses that are operating are indeed, you know, complying, you know, mm-hmm. with all these other registration requirements and have all these other licenses. And also to make sure that, okay, you have all your licenses and certificates updated.
Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Okay. And you talked about online businesses and how complicated it is in South Sudan, because some people are not registering, others don't know whether you need to register, and others are just ignoring the fact that they need to register their businesses. Do we have any laws that are guiding online businesses and companies in the country?
Well, as a country, we don't have an e-commerce law or legislation. But within NCA, there is regulations
mm-hmm.
that basically, you know, highlights for how these businesses are supposed to be regulated. And then the why there is regulations, because the National Communication Authority Act has given that power or that authority to NCA, you know, to set regulations when necessary. So that sort of highlights that. And also, I think there is also a need to say that most of the online, not all of them, most of them
mm-hmm.
are sort of just operating within social media platforms, and they are not necessarily having, you know, websites, you know, that like a very clear website that this is what they do.
Mm-hmm.
So most of the engagement is through social media platforms, which makes the aspect of regulation also a bit tricky, even for NCA. So yes, but
yes.
What I'm saying here is that yes, there is requirements and there is regulations within NCA, and you need to just approach the right lawyer, because not everyone would know everything. So you know, lawyers are just like doctors. You need to make sure that if you have a stomach problem,
mm-hmm.
you don't go for a doctor who, you know, specialize in eyes problem.
Okay.
You know, you need to approach the
yeah.
right lawyer
okay.
or the right doctor.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, you're listening to the Business Weekly on Radio Mira, where we talk business and do business. And today we are talking about business registration, and our guest is lawyer Wani Steven, who has been talking to us about the process and what you need to do to register your businesses. You can join the conversation by calling us on 0929-686297 or sending us a text message on 0917-7141. We shall come back after the break.
This is Business Weekly.
Well, this is the Business Weekly on Radio Miraya, where we talk business and do business. My name is Helen Toby, and today our guest is Wani Steven, who's a lawyer, and we're discussing about business registration in South Sudan and how important is it. If you have a comment or view or a question on this topic, you can call us on 0929-686297 or send us a message on 0912-177141, and he'll be here to respond to you, your questions about business registration in the country. We can pick our first caller. Hello, Radio Mira. We seem to have a problem with that. 0929-686297 is our line. You can call to ask your questions or give your comments on business registrations in South Sudan. 0912-177141. This is the Business Weekly program, and we are talking about business registration Hello, Radio Mirror.
Hello, good morning.
Good morning. What's your name and where are you calling from?
My name is John and I'm calling from Gombeck.
Okay. What's your question or your comment?
I have two questions.
Mm-hmm.
One, you know, there is that, the term of online business, whether they are operating in South Sudan illegally. And I know maybe you might have a reason of why not trying to answer whether, you know, the online businesses here in South Sudan are operating illegally if they are not registered. One of them is the issue of silicon that has been happening recently. I think most of you are aware about it.
Mm-hmm.
If the company is not registered and is running a business online, how do you call it? Is it not illegal? They're not operating legally? That's one. Two, there is this tendency in the state government that each time when they have any function, they would want to charge, you know, their function on the business community. What I'm meaning is that, you know, they charge whatever function they want to organize. They go to shop where they're large and a small restaurant, then to collect money in order to run their functions. Is this fair? Is that okay in terms of business?
Okay.
People are being charged to pay 5,000, you know, per job.
Okay.
In order to run, you know, that thing.
Okay.
And this 5,000, you know, to somebody with a small capital,
mm-hmm.
could be a big loss.
Right.
Is it fair for the government to always do this?
Okay.
I've been seeing this a lot of times.
Okay. You. Okay, thank you very much. That was one of our caller, and he asked two questions about being charged for businesses, entities to have their functions, and the other one about online businesses.
I'm really happy that he mentioned the Silicon Valley as an example.
Mm-hmm.
So, and this is something that I think I've spoken about it in other or different radio stations. Silicon Valley, at least from the documents that were circulating online, they have registered with Minister of Justice.
Mm-hmm.
And I think they have the documents from the CID, you know, the Economic and Financial Crimes Division. However, when you look into what Silicon Valley does, the nature of their business, which is basically, you know, they dealing with a sector that is relevant to money, trading in shares and so forth. At least that's what people assume that they're doing. So that bit of it, you know, they're supposed to now acquire other licenses, you know, and there are two players or two regulators that regulate this sort of business. You know, one is the central bank, second is NCA, because the nature of Silicon Valley also, apart from, you know, dealing with money, they also, you know, have, you know, they do their things through online platforms, you know, so they're offering online services. So, but when we look into this specific two regulators, they were not complying with this or with the requirements of this regulator. You know, so that's why I said it's not enough to just have a certificate of registration or incorporation from Minister of Justice, operation from the state, Chamber of Commerce, tax identification number, the documents from the CID, and then you start work. Because these are the general requirements, you know, for a business who wants to, for example, just offer, let's say, these guys who supply NGOs,
mm-hmm.
yeah, for that, this might be okay. But then if you want to now be more specific, for example, offer, you know, online services, Silicon Valley, then you need to approach the central bank and NCA to make sure that you acquire the relevant licenses from these two institutions. If you want to engage in petroleum, I said this earlier, you need to approach Minister of Petroleum
mm-hmm.
and acquire a specific license on top of the, you know, four or five that you already have. You need to acquire a specific license from petroleum. The same thing within the medical sector.
Mm-hmm.
If you want to operate a pharmacy, you know, on top of what you have, you you still need to approach, you know, the medical commission. They would give you a different set of requirements to have a pharmacy.
Okay.
One of it includes you need to have, you know, a pharmacist,
mm-hmm.
you know, to register this pharmacy of yours if you are not a pharmacist with his license. You know, and the same thing within the legal sector, you know, us as lawyers, we are also business people.
Okay.
For you to operate a law firm,
you need to also follow
the procedure. You need
mm-hmm.
to make sure that, you know, this law firm have a lawyer, you know,
mm-hmm.
within it. Silicon Valley, that was some of the things that they were not complying with. And I hope that highlights what my colleague have, what my friend here asked. And then secondly, state taxes.
Mm-hmm.
Earlier on, I said within each state, there are different, regulatory bodies. And according to our laws, according to the constitution, states and local government have, the power to levy specific taxes. You know, they also can tax people. If that happens when they're having function, I'm really sorry. That would be like a very bad coincidence.
Mm-hmm.
But yes, states have taxes. That's why when you see within Juba, the Juba City Council, moving shop to shop, collecting money from people.
Right.
Because, the constitution gives them that right. They have laws that gives them that, laws and regulations that gives them that right.
Okay.
Whether it should be small or 5,000, whatever thousand, that's completely left, that's completely left to the state assembly. And more specifically, in case of Juba City Council, for example, they have, a legislation within Juba City Council that basically looks into their regulations, into their bylaws, and what levies should be lifted and what should not be lifted from which type of business.
Mm-hmm.
So as a business people, we need to be more specific when we're doing our work. Our work should not only just be, okay, we're just, selling things. But we should also approach, have a relationship with the authority, have a relationship with the regulators. So, for example, if certain taxes are high, we need to lobby. Business people, you have money, right? So you need to make sure that, you influence policies that are being enacted.
Mm-hmm.
And this is something that maybe is a little bit missing. We leave the authority to do things, and then when they start, implementing the things that they have done, it's now disadvantageous for us, and we now cry.
Okay.
So we need to have that relationship.
Okay, we hope the caller's question has been answered. And as I earlier promised you that we're going to have a business entrepreneur who are going to highlight here on the show, and because of the time, we're not going to pick more questions or read your SMSs. So now we are joined by Matata Safi, who is venturing into the honey business. Matata, thank you for joining us on the show.
Thank you.
Can you tell us more about your business? What inspired you to venture into honey business?
Thank you very much, Maria, for giving me this opportunity. The business that I run is called Hagana Agro-Processing Company Limited. We were incorporated in 2018.
Mm-hmm.
We are close to 5 years now. I grew up as a refugee in the neighboring Uganda during those times of our civil war.
Mm-hmm.
And all that I witnessed growing up was poverty and hunger. And coming back to South Sudan, I've always wanted to contribute, to eradicating poverty among my community. So that's how the story of Hagana started. Somebody would ask, why honey?
Mm-hmm. Right. Why honey?
If you look at the statistics now, the world over, 130 million people are diabetic. So that means they don't consume factory sugar. 1.5 million people die every year because of diabetes. So this in itself is a market for honey.
Mm-hmm.
There's a huge, huge potential for us as a country. If you look within the region, the production of honey is not enough. The demand is higher than what beekeepers can produce. We have Kenya, Tanzania, that are the leading countries in East Africa that produce honey. But Tanzania is number one, Kenya is number two. But still, Kenya last year imported honey worth $626,000 to supplement what they produce.
Mm-hmm. So it means the demand is very high. Okay.
So this it's in itself provide for us an opportunity to tap in this honey business.
Mm-hmm.
The challenges are huge. I will come to that later on, but I just wanted to paint this picture as to what opportunity lies for us as South Sudan, because we have vast forests, and this is where the bees flourish, and this is where honey, bees make honey. So that's the opportunity that is in our hands.
So how have you been conducting your businesses? Where do you get your honey from? Do you do business, beekeeping as part of this, or you get it from elsewhere?
Surprisingly, we do not even own a single hive.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody will ask how, and this is our business model.
Mm-hmm.
We, like I said, my story is about trying to make a change within our communities. So therefore, our business model is where we want to work with people who are passionate about beekeeping. So we give the production aspect completely to them. We in fact go an extra mile to provide, capacity building to these farmers to be able to produce honey. If there are gaps, such as they want, buckets during times of harvest to be able to, harvest their honey and, to sell the honey to us, we provide that. So we only come in as a market provider. And then we put our resources in processing and marketing.
Mm-hmm.
So in either way, if Agana is growing, it also means that the farmers at the grassroots are growing. As a start, we know the whole of South Sudan is a potential for honey production, but we had to start from somewhere. At the moment, we're in the Greater Equatorial Region. Great Equatorial Region, which is the Green Belt.
Mm-hmm.
That's where we are, our operations are. But as we grow, we want to, reach all those areas that are, have the potential to produce honey.
Is this business profitable? Are you getting profit, a lot of profit from it?
Not at the moment yet, because it's very difficult to do business in our situation. We started at the time when we were at the peak of our conflict, and as I said, we are a business that really relies on produce that comes from the countryside.
Mm-hmm.
And when the countryside is not very safe, then your capacity will be a little bit reduced. Taken aside, we also have issues to do with our infrastructure. We are prone to floods. And when the rain seasons are very heavy, like as we have witnessed, we're in November, and it's still raining. So because of this, you find that the roads are really, really very bad. And when the roads are bad, it also adds on to the cost of doing business. But if you ask me whether we are profitable, my answer would be yes, on the aspect that we have impacted positively on the communities that are giving us the honey. We currently work with the 557 honey producers. This is a great opportunity.
From the Equatorial Region.
Yes, these are the people who supply the honey, and this is the profit. I could say, as a social entrepreneur, I always feel very happy when I see smiles on the faces of the people that we work with. So that is my profitability, I should say.
Okay.
But in terms of Hagana making profits, we are slowly heading there, but the journey is not yet over.
Okay, and where is your market? Are you doing it nationally, or are you also selling your products internationally?
Our major market right now is South Sudan.
Mm-hmm.
But we have also made very small a breakthrough to the Japanese market. This is a story of 2 years ago.
Mm-hmm.
Before COVID, we exported 600 kilos. It was a very small amount, but it had a huge meaning, because nothing has ever moved from South Sudan to Japan. So the Japanese market, you could compare it with the US market. They have very stringent quality standard standards.
Mm-hmm.
So for us to have broken into that market, it was a huge thing for South Sudan, and that's where we should be looking at. As I said, the market's bigger out there. South Sudan, the market's very small, with a huge demand, and there's a lot of interest coming. We get approached, but only that we haven't broken through into making major exports. But there's a lot of interest on our honey, because our honey is organic. We do not use insecticides while farming.
Mm-hmm.
And these are the things, when you talk of the quality of honey, they want to look at the chemical residues in the honey. How much is that? And we completely have zero because we do not use pesticides while farming. And our honey is forest honey.
Mm-hmm.
It's the bees, you know, go around collecting nectar from different tree species, and that gives the unique taste of our honey. So that in itself is our sales point.
Okay. Yeah. So what kind of message would you give to the people who want to venture into this business?
We have huge resources. One player is not enough.
Mm-hmm.
I'll be very happy if we start competing with Ethiopia. As I said, Ethiopia is is the leading country in Africa that produces honey, and that's mm-hmm. about 450 metric tons mm-hmm. a year.
Mm-hmm.
I have flown over Ethiopia, but I've not, you know, gotten down. But if I compare what I see to what we have, we are far much ahead than Ethiopia.
Mm-hmm.
So if really we get people who are very passionate about beekeeping, let us venture into this business. It doesn't pay off immediately, but if you're persistent, you keep, you know, you can do it for leisure. You know, buy one hive, two hives, keep putting them there.
And going on, making it a big business.
At the end of it,
mm-hmm.
it's like you've employed the bees to do work for you. You are seated somewhere, and Sakhalin later. So it's a business that doesn't need a lot of energy and not a lot of resources. It's the hive, put it up. Keep inspecting to mm-hmm. see so that they are not, you know, they are no pests that are affecting your hive and all that. The bees do the rest of the work for you.
Well, thank you for sharing with us your story on Radio Miraya. And this is the Business Weekly, where we talk business and do business. And today we hosted a lawyer who talked about business registration. And we also had an entrepreneur who shared his journey with us. Because of time, we are going to head to the Arabic news at 10 a.m. My name is Helen Toby. Until next time, we meet on the Business Weekly program.
This is Business Weekly.
Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Business Weekly. Bring you the latest business, economic, and financial news from around the country and tell you how they affect you. Business Weekly features aspiring Southernese entrepreneurs every Monday morning from 9:15 to 10 a.m. Business Weekly. Talk business. Do business. Only on Radio Miraya.